Suzanne, your group has just published a new guideline on when women should really consider having a baby. Can you tell me what this new guideline is?
Yeah, SOGC has invested in developing a guideline around delayed childbearing, which really provides up-to-date information about reproductive health. And essentially, the core story, or one of the core stories, is that the public needs to be aware that the optimum age for childbearing is 20 to 35, and that female fertility declines significantly after age 32.
Well, isn't this old news?
Well, that's a great question. Some of it might be old news to those that work in the area, but from the research that we've done trying to understand what men and women know about reproductive health, we would say that it's new news, because a lot of people are unaware of age-related declines in fertility and age-related changes that increase pregnancy risks over time.
What is the work that you've done to come to this conclusion?
We've done a couple of pieces of work. One of them is to survey over 2,000 Albertans of childbearing age to try to understand what they see the risks of delaying childbearing are. And that informed our understanding of what the public doesn't know about waiting too long to begin their families. And another series of studies we did was to understand what couples are waiting for before they begin to have their family, to understand whether or not it was workplace issues, career issues, lack of information, or other issues that we didn't know about.
And what are the things that are making people delay?
So both men and women say that they recognize that they would like to begin childbearing between the ages of 25 and 29. That would be their ideal age to start. But they also tell us that what they're waiting for is relationship security and financial security. We were very interested to learn that really career security was not as of much importance as we initially thought it might be going into the study.
Looking at the health effects or the potential problems that might result if a person waits too long, isn't that kind of counteracted by all our advances in prenatal care or postnatal care and actually dealing with women who are delaying childbirth into their later years, into their late 30s and early 40s?
Yeah, that's a really important point. And there have been tremendous advancements in assisted reproductive technology and IVF. But many people don't recognize that there's still only a 30 to 35% chance that you would become pregnant in any IVF cycle. And even in IVF, the probability of success goes down with increasing maternal age. So the likelihood of becoming pregnant the longer you wait is decreased, even with the use of assisted reproductive technology.
What do the statistics say if you compare, say, today's generation of women with those of, say, 20, 30, or 40 years ago as to when they're having their children? Are the bulk of women still having their children in that 20 to 30 age, or has it really shifted up?
There's been a tremendous shift in the age at which women start their families and finish having their families. So if you look back 20 years ago, more women were having children at ages 20 to 24 and 25 to 29. Now we've sort of moved that curve to 25 to 29 and 30 to 34, to the point that actually almost 50% of all of our babies are born to women over the age of 30.
I'm just looking at my own situation because I hail from that generation of women who were the first kind of feminists of the 60s and 70s, and we sort of rejected everything. So I didn't even have my first child till I was 29, 30. And now my daughter is doing her PhD, and she's going to be well into her 30s before she's even in a position to start thinking about families. It just seems to put so much extra pressure on women who are already trying to get ahead and even deal with sort of things beyond the traditional roles. It's just one more thing that you have to worry about if you're trying to, live out your dream as a woman.
Yeah, I think that there is something to be said for how women have changed their roles in our communities over time. And one of the key points of these guidelines is it's not to direct traffic or to make things that seem impossible possible. What it is to give the information to those that are in a place to make a decision so they have the information. And I think that's a really important core story, because what we found in our research was that many people didn't realize what they were trading off for childbearing. They didn't realize the threat to their reproductive health, and so they couldn't make an informed decision about what they were going to do either in their workplace or in their academic careers. And they say to us time and again, well, why didn't somebody tell me? Because it might have influenced the decision I made at that point in time. These guidelines aren't in any way meant to do anything other than provide information to the public so they can make decisions.
Well, for a woman who's in that sort of target age that you're concerned about, what advice do you have for them? I certainly hope that it's not something that's going to be all scary news.
I don't think it is all scary news. I think that the advice that we would have is to, you know, talk to your family doctor and inform yourself of what reproductive health looks like and make the very best decision you can for you and your family in your current circumstances. You know, women and men have both told us that relationship is very important in terms of making these decisions. And so I think we need to pay attention to that.
Well, this work that you've done, it's all part of the overall role that you do at the University of Calgary. And you're also part of a team that Alberta Innovates Health Solutions supports called the Preterm Birth and Healthy Outcomes Team. What exactly is this? Who's involved in this team?
Yeah, Alberta Innovates Health Solutions has supported this interdisciplinary team of 14 investigators from Canada, the U.S. and Australia to try to better understand preterm birth. And we have team members that are exploring the basic science and the physiology of preterm birth, and then other team members like myself that are trying to understand population health behaviors and family behaviors around healthy birth outcomes. Preterm birth is one of the risks of delayed childbearing, and children that are born too small or too soon are at greater risk of having developmental and behavioral challenges compared to children born at term. So we're really eager to see how we can optimize healthy pregnancies and birth outcomes.
What is one of the things that you're working on right now with this?
We're looking at a couple of things. One is there a genetic marker for preterm birth, and is there some way that we could predict which women would go into preterm labor early in pregnancy so we can try to manage their risk? We're also looking at an exciting intervention about how fathers who have children that are born preterm can best interact with their children so that child development is fantastic and fathers feel happy in their role. We also have some kind of interesting animal models where we're trying to understand the influence of maternal stress and anxiety on preterm birth and on maternal parenting, and how we can understand these other aspects of behavior in preterm birth.
Going back to what you said about looking at genetic markers, do you have any indications at this point if this does actually influence preterm births?
Well, I think you'll have to stay tuned and call me in a year. We've just got our blood samples ready to be analyzed. We've collected some samples from about 3,500 women, and we're eager to understand if we do have a genetic marker.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.